Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of love. Sing it again.
Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Because we have some special guests that are in the house tonight, and I tell you, I've never seen a couple quite like them. I'm always blessed by them, and I'm always thinking, Lord, how do they do what they do? And they are going to share that with us. So get ready, get ready, get ready. Bless your husband, bless your wife, bless your girlfriends, bless your boyfriends, whatever it is. Bless your families, and guess what? You're going to bless yourself just by being tuned into this program. Ain't that right, Coach B?
Amen. That is right. You know, Minister LaDon, I was saying that, you know, flowers die, candy get, you know, we eat up the candy, stuffed animals collect dust, but wise counsel lasts a lifetime. And I think that, you know, they often say that the person who invests in themselves are generally the most successful. And I think the same way about marriage and relationship. Whether you're a courting couple or you're a married couple, you have to invest in your relationship. And so I think that's one of the things we're going to find out about tonight is how do we keep love alive? How do we invest in our relationships? Are we willing to invest in our relationships? One way of knowing if we're willing to invest in our relationships is taking the time like this, you know, to tune in and get some nuggets that you could apply, you know. And oftentimes we don't want to do that. We'd rather sit up and watch a show on TV, or, you know, one person's in one room and the other person's on the other room and they both on social media. So I'm just excited. I don't know what God is going to do on tonight, but I totally trust him, and I just cannot wait because I'm believing that I'm going to be on the other side of the courting to the courthouse very soon, one day. And so I'm investing in me now as a wife, because you have to be a wife before you become a wife. And so I'm investing in myself right now as a wife waiting on my husband. So, amen. So, without further ado, we want to present to some and introduce to others the dynamic duo, the phenomenal. I mean, to tell you, this couple here, I got to share a little brief story. I know my minister, LaDon, be like, oh, you just talk too much. But I got to share a story. I got a chance to meet this couple a few years ago, and I was on business, and I traveled to Sacramento, and we met for the first time in person. We had spoken on the phone a few times, but we met for the first time in person doing one of my favorite things. They didn't know it was my favorite thing, but I love sushi. And everybody that knows Coach D knows she loves sushi. And I met them at the sushi thing. But prior to meeting, me and this awesome woman of God had spoken on the phone, and I tell you, when I say that I had an Elizabeth experience, I say this, and I'm not trying to brown nose or whatever they call it, but it was such a spiritual connection for me that she didn't know me, but she just began to speak words according to the Holy Spirit, and the baby that was inside of me began to turn flip. The baby that was inside of me began to bounce around. I mean, I just got excited, and I got passionate again because somewhere I had lost my passion. And I got excited, and it was shortly after my introduction to this couple that I started, I got an opportunity to bring my book to Blog Talk Radio. Do you know that, man and woman of God, I'm actually getting ready to go into my fourth season, so this is my fourth year coming up. I believe April is going to be my fourth year of doing processing the pain, and now we have Woman to Woman, which this is, we're going into our second year, and the MCB Network, so it's just been a journey. So again, without further ado, we want to welcome into the studio the wonderful man and woman of God, Don and Charlene Johnson.
Woo! Hi. Good evening. You guys are loved and appreciated.
Yes, you
great
are.
To hear your voice. And wow, I had no idea, Coach D, that, you know, the impact was like that. So praise God. That's exciting.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. And so I'm Don, Charlene's husband. just to tell you a little bit about us, we host an event here in Sacramento, the Sacramento region, called the Night to Dream. And it's an event designed to motivate, inspire, empower, equip, and to bring hope and encouragement to people to help them live a life without limits. We also, but I didn't say it already, the regional representative for Boston Movement here in Sacramento in the northern region area. We've been called to bring core values to our youth. We joined a wonderful, wonderful organization, Boss the Movement. I think you know who the founder of that organization is. Happened to be our mentor, Al and Hattie Hollingsworth. I'm also a husband and a father. Met Charlene in 94. We got married 300-something-odd days later in 95. We have a 21-year-old son, Malcolm, a 19-year-old daughter, Dominique, and a son who will be 16 in March, and his name is Nehemiah. And like I said, we currently live here in Sacramento area, called the pastor church in San Francisco. So there's a lot of titles that we wear, but one that we're really known for is husband and wife and family, men and women. So.
Amen. And I'm Charlene, and I am the other half. And he really covered it all. I also, just to kind of add to it, I was in the military. I was in there for only like 3 years, but a veteran, because I was from Cleveland, Ohio, but they sent me out to go to do my military time. And, you know, lo and behold, after I finished getting out of the military, I meet Don. Had no idea that God would send me all the way over here to meet my house bonder. So very excited about what God is doing in ministry and in our lives. Just meshing us together. How many years? I got to think for a minute. We've been married 20,
but it's gone on 23.
23 years, yeah. 23 years this June. We'll be married.
Wow.
So I think, yeah, and I'm also a nurse manager, so I work in labor and delivery, so I birth babies 24/7. So birth babies in the natural and also in the spirit, so super excited.
Oh, amen.
Right. Amen. I didn't know that. So you are just, you know, so you're just a true midwife.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I didn't know that God was in the process, you know, as we know what God called us to do, but sometimes you don't understand the process. And then I start recognizing the process as I was, you know, he put me in certain situations. I landed here in labor and delivery as a manager for the last 11 years. So awesome things have happened there, and I can parallel spiritual things with natural things. So, and then God connects us with a spiritual midwife. So we're just like in heaven.
we've been blessed. Enjoying life.
Amen. So I think I'm gonna kind of wind us back a little bit, because what I want to just start, I know we're going to get into love. This is a love journey today. But I want to go back a little bit, because I want to be able to, you mentioned some things, and you know, you mentioned like the Trinity. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, a woman of God, and got a career, and the man of God is a husband, and he's a father, and a man of God. So let's start with, I know that you guys are dynamic. You got this dynamic ministry going. I know that there's some things you're doing ministry-wise on a lot of different levels. Can you just kind of go into some details and share some of that with us?
Well, back in 2014, God gave us a vision, something that had been on our heart, the event that we do call the Night to Dream. We knew we were called to pastor, but we didn't know when the time was going to be. We were trying to make it happen back in 2012. In fact, there were a number of times we had set dates that we were going to launch a church, but it just never happened. And what God was showing us, he was not ready for it to happen. And so he did give us an assignment, and it was called A Night to Dream. We had the first one back in 2014. I believe it was the first Saturday on the 4th of October 2014. Had a really nice turnout. You know, God's hand was on it. And we've been doing it ever since. It's been like every first Saturday of the month. And we're doing it at a library right here in Sacramento. That kind of closed. We weren't able to use the libraries as often as we would have liked to. So people started fading away, and we weren't able to be consistent. And then God opened the door for us to get a building here in Sacramento, and we started doing it again. And then it opened the door for us to do what we do, a Night to Dream every first Saturday of the month. But then we started doing the events called Saturday Dream Sessions, and it's all about goal setting and things like that. So it's like the first phase of our ministry. God gave us three phases, and that's the first phase. And we recognized as the vision began to unfold that it wasn't going to look like the typical church, but it would eventually be a church. But that's the start of it, you know, and there's some other things that God is doing. But that's the gist of what we started doing in ministry. And then we connected with Al and Hattie Hollinsworth. And the vision that God gave him was really compatible with what God was having us to do. And so we made a connection there that it was God divine. Since then, some other things opened to where there's a school here in the area that's going to allow us to come in and to be able to do BOSS with them. So that's another something that God has. We didn't see it coming, but God put in our ministry. So things are starting to open up. Things will begin to explode pretty soon. We can see it happening now.
Yeah.
And it's keeping us busy.
Yeah.
It's a good busy. We like it. In the process, we're learning a lot. So.
Yeah, and I was just going to kind of go back a little bit. And I think one of the really important things to recognize in a couple, like we call ourselves the Kingdom Tag Team. And so we've been in ministry together for a long time. And one thing that I can say about this man of God, my husband, is that he wants me to become myself. So he's not, you know, some men are prideful and they won't allow the woman to be who God called them to be. They want you to kind of stay in the back skirts and, you know, not do this and not do that. But I do have to give a shout out to him because he's consistently, you know, pushing me to do greater things and to really be who God called me to be. So that's why we have this. One of the great things that we recognized as we were serving is that we had a dynamic flow when it comes to teaching. So there's an anointing there and a grace there to flow as a tag team. And we thought that was like natural and that we would duplicate ourselves. And we tried to do this conference one time. And, oh, my God, we had six couples. And it was a train wreck. It was bad because the man was too prideful or the woman, she just preached and just disregarded him. So, you know, we recognize that, oh, wow, this is like a grace that God has put on us and how we know how to flow, ebb and flow with one another, not to step on some, I mean, his toes and he doesn't step on mine. And still the job gets done that needs to be done. So I do have to recognize that because I know that that's not the norm. So that's a great, you know, great asset. And I know that that's God's hand being upon us that he allows me to be who God called me to be.
Amen. That is so awesome. And one of the, because I hear you saying that, I want you to give us a little background. And I know Coach D probably has a question too, but I want to know the background of how you got to that place of being a tag team because, you know, like you said, with the other couples that you were working with, they hadn't gotten to that place where they're able to recognize how to flow together. How did you guys get to this place? And I'm asking because I see it. Every time I see you guys, I see that you guys, it's like this dance that you do. You guys can be across the room from each other, and you guys are still dancing. And I'm like, how do they do that?
Well, I think, you know, I can't remember exactly how it started, but I think what it is, I would say I'd get up there and speak if Charlene come up there and hold my hand.
Amen. You know, I like that.
You know, it's just, I didn't like really being in front of people, you know. And, you know, it's like we'd be asked to speak, and I'd tell Charlene, well, why don't you do it? You know, you go ahead and do it. And, you know, I can't remember exactly how I started doing it, but
I think. Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. I think, like, what happened with me, because I know you guys might not believe this, but I was extremely shy. And so I did not like getting up in front of people at all. But when we went to serve under the ministry that we serve up under, you know, because they say the way up in God is down. So we went into this particular ministry serving and, you know, working another man's vision. And then God began to start elevating us and raising us up. And one of the constraints that I had was not being able to speak in front of people. But what was interesting about it, and I'm going to just tell this story really quick, but we have these meetings like Jesus and the 12 disciples. And so one time I had to go present something to all of the men. So we got a whole room full of men and my pastor and, you know, some other ministers in the room. So I went to do my assignment to ask the questions and things like that. And as soon as I got up there to the room, I knocked on the door, and then one of the guys turned around and he said, "What are you doing here? You're a woman. You're not allowed here." And so, you know, I'm already nervous because I had not stepped out of the box. I was still in my state of where God hadn't used me yet. And so he made me wait outside for about 10 minutes. And there, y'all know I almost was in the flesh, right? But I kept it together. I kept it together and was able to, then my pastor came and he's like, "What are you doing out here?" And I couldn't even talk, went back in and he said, "Okay, what do you have for us?" And I start reading what I had to read to them. Now, I had never spoken in front of anybody at this point, but then after I finished, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to encourage the men. And so I began to encourage. I mean, I looked at my pastor, I said, "Well, God wants me to encourage them." And he said, "Well, go ahead, do it." And I'm telling you, it was like a river. It was like I got such a major breakthrough. And now, y'all, they can't shut me up. because God really came in and he put the anointing to preach on me at that point, and it came under harsh circumstances because I was really upset and challenged with that whole thing. But then we began to start speaking, and then Don got up there and he started speaking, and then we just noticed the phenomenon, and our pastor obviously noticed it because he kept calling us up to do this and that. But we took, I think another thing is that we took care of ourselves first.
Meaning like
worked on ourselves.
Yeah,
because you know when you're married, you know the other opposite sex is trying to work on the other person, and you got to do you first so that you can be that benefit for your other half. So I think we really spent a lot of time. We're kind of different, so some people might be able to sit back and relax and watch TV. We don't really do that. We love just feasting on what God is doing and what he's saying and studying and becoming better, watching videos and reading books. And I mean, we're constantly, and both of us are like that. So we're constantly like in the flow with each other. So that's why it's easy to flow when we get up and minister.
Always sharing what we read and from one another. And so it's almost like a natural flow. Well, it is a natural flow. We stay in tune with each other. Like today I came and said, hey, I just watched this on this tape, and I started telling Charlene about it. She'll tell me about what she's reading, and we get up there and ready to talk about it. We kind of know what the other one is thinking, so things just kind of unfold in that way.
You know, what I want to say is this. You were saying some key things because I say that because I was last week, God was dropping in my spirit. He started taking me through, and he had me start doing a study about the tripartite of men. And so he started taking me through the body and what the functions of the body is and what the functions, what the soul houses and what those functions are, and then the spirit. And he was saying, and then he took me through some other things. And when you know what the body, and the body can influence the soul if the spirit is not strong, because the soul could be influenced by both the spirit and the body. So, you know, depending on which one is the stronger of the two. And so what it was showing me is that when the flesh, the body is stronger than the spirit, then the flesh and the soul then become a stronger part. And so when I thought about that, I said, and just think how many people keep using this term soulmate. Because if you really think about what the soul and the flesh do when they team up, and you asking for a soulmate, and then we wondering why we got all this divorce and all these emotions and all this drama and chaos going on. And when you guys were speaking, because he had already been sharing this with me, and you guys are speaking about purpose mate. You guys are each other's purpose, and you provoke the purpose in each other. And when you get that, it don't have nothing to do with emotions. It has absolutely
nothing to do with emotions,
but driven by purpose. And you are his purpose, and he is your purpose. And together, you guys are fulfilling the purpose that you were placed on the earth to do. And that's powerful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
You know what's really interesting is that as you get to know someone, you recognize that you can't always do what you hear them say. You know, for example, sometimes we say things, but that's not what we mean. And just to tell you a quick story with Charlene, like, you know, it's a process getting to know each other, and things have to unfold because sometimes we don't know ourselves well enough. You know, sometimes Charlene imitate me and say, you do this, and I say, no, I don't do that. And she'll imitate me, and I realize that's exactly what I do. You know, sometimes the other one know the other one better than herself. I remember early in me and Charlene's relationship, I wanted to go out to a Mexican restaurant, and she said, no, I don't like Mexican food. And I love Mexican food. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's I guess I can live with that, but, you know, I guess I got to give it up for a while. And for about 10 years into our relationship, every time we went out to a restaurant, I never went to a Mexican restaurant. And one day she said, oh, I have a taste for Mexican food. This is about 10 years later. And I said, you don't like Mexican food. She said, yes, I do. I said, you told me you didn't like it. She said, when did I tell you that? And I went all the way back to the date. I said, we were at a Mexican restaurant one day. Ready? You told me you don't like Mexican food. She said, oh, I did say that, but that's not what I meant. So I went 10 years in our relationship without eating some of my favorite food. And I realized that you can't listen. You know, that's what your dad has been trying to tell me now. Coach Al has been telling me, listen, there's wordless words. You have to hear what's not being said. I was like, wow. And so, you know, but in relationships, you get to know each other that way.
Yeah.
You know, that we just begin to learn people's habits. Sometimes you don't recognize you have them, but you do. And, but I'm just saying how things begin to unfold, you get to know each other in a better way.
Well, and you don't go into, we didn't go into it with the handbook. We went into it out of our old models, our old mindset. So we had no instructions. So we were we really were experimenting. That's
right.
What we were doing, because we didn't really have that guide that we needed. Yeah, we went to church and we did that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about a real true marriage that you can look at and say, hey, I would love to my marriage to be like that. So it's a lot of kinks, and it's a lot of working through, and a lot of, because you don't even really know who you are yet.
Right.
You know, I didn't know who I was, to be honest, when I got married. I didn't know my purpose. I didn't know all. I knew God was brewing in me to do some things, but I still didn't know who I was, and I still was operating off of my old models. And, you know, the same thing with him, and that's how it is. And then the word says that the two shall become one flesh, and, oh, my God, that ain't no joke. The two shall become one flesh. That's talking about all of you and your junk in your trunk,
what?
Plus this other person and junk in their trunk. And now you're trying to come together as one? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, what we found out is that you do become one, but not the first, the second, the third year.
No.
You can take about 15 years before you become one. And but, you know, it's interesting because in relationships, I've heard men and women both say things like, you know, they'll just have to take me the way I am. And my question is, where is that in the Bible, where people have to take you the way you are, you know?
Maybe they think that's come as you are.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's like, I guess I define it as people saying, I'm not going to change. This is the way I am. And, you know, you're going to have to take me like this. Well, that's not true, because when I hear people say what kind of mate they want, they put in a really tough order, you know. I want this, I want that. They got to look like this. They have to have this type of job. But then you say you have to take me the way I am. It's like, no, wait a minute, you know. And seeing if you really love someone, you know, what I'm saying is if you know that you're going to get married one day, like when I was a kid, I just, for some reason, I always knew that one day I would be married and have kids. And this was like, you know, being as early, if I remember, like 6 and 7 years old, I was in a household where I had parents, they were married, and I've only known one mom and one dad. And, you know, I had brothers and sisters, and it was just like a natural thing that would happen for me. But in saying all that, when I got ready to get married, well, I think I was 32. I couldn't have got, well, the 31, I couldn't have got married not a year before then, because I wouldn't have been ready, you know, mentally for some of the things that, you know, the challenges that we had, you know. But after that, I was ready. But the thing is, it was a good thing that Charlene recognized, you know, that I wasn't the kind of person that you have to take me the way I am. If I would have said that, Charlene probably would have said no when I asked to marry him. But she took me the way I was, but she knew that I was going to have to develop and become better.
Well, then you made a really good point there, because a lot of women, they have really high expectations of what they want their man of God looks like. And they fail to realize that when God brings two people together, that woman of God is going to be the helpmeet. So that means that man of God needs help. So the anointing on your life and what you're going to do when you perfect and you become more mature in you will be able to help bring him where he's supposed to be in God, that visionary that's in your household. If I would have looked at Don and said, well, he doesn't make six figures and he doesn't drive this and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. Well, no, I don't think that's my husband. Then I would have missed it big time. That's why you have to look at the heart, and you really got to hear from God before you get married. See, a lot of women say, I'm ready to get married. But my question is, are you ready to be a wife? because getting married and being a wife are totally two different things. So, and that's really what it comes down to. Am I really ready to be a wife? Can I submit and bite my tongue when I know I'm used to flying off the handle? You know, that's the real deal, and that's the real talk. And really, if you, when God, and we have six D's that we'll cover in just a minute, but I just wanted to kind of point that out, because sometimes I think we set our expectations so high that they're unrealistic, to be honest. There's nothing wrong with dreaming, but we really got to be careful about that, because God may have ordained for you to be that woman of God that helps him to get to where he needs, as you support him and stand beside him and pray for him and edify him and watch God do what he does in his life, that he takes the whole family to another level.
And just to paraphrase that, what Charlene said, you know, we could know what we want in a husband or in a wife. Charlene wanted an oak tree, and God said, okay, I'll give you one. But he started off with a pine cone. And there's your oak tree. Now help him. But the thing is, he gave her what she got. She got it. You know, it's just that it didn't come full grown. And a lot of times that's what we want. And that just is not the way God always operates,
no,
you
doesn't.
Know. And so, you had mentioned of the word submit. And one of the things I recognize, you know, is that when we say submit, my point is you have an allegiance to God. And if a husband would ask a wife to submit to anything that would challenge her allegiance to God, she don't have to submit to that. And so I thought I'd throw that in there when I heard you use the word submit, because you do have a choice of what you submit to, and it has to be, godly. And so, but there's six D's we'd like to share with you. And it's, this is for any type of relationship. In this case,
any
we're talking about marriage, any commitments.
Yeah.
These six D's are good for any commitment. But in this case, we're talking about marriage.
First one is the defining moment. You have to have a defining moment. Like, I couldn't say, I think Don is my husband. I think he's the one. I have to know, like I know I'm a woman, like I know I'm saved, like I know I'm called. I know in my spirit that that's my husband. So you have to know that before you say I do. It's a knowing that nobody can question. If everybody else said don't do it, you have to have a knowing in your belly that, yeah, this is my man of God.
It's a defining moment. And I think you know by the Spirit of God if someone is your mate or not. And so, you know, we talk about John the Baptist, how it was God who revealed to him who Jesus was. It wasn't another man. It was God who revealed to John the Baptist who Jesus was. He said, the one that you see the Spirit of God landing upon, he's the one. And when John got ready to baptize Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He had a defining moment. He knew who Jesus was by the revelation of God. And I believe that's what God does with mates. He'll let you know this is your husband or this is your wife. But at the same time, that you have to have that defining moment. We're going to come back to what happened to John. Well, I'll just tell you now. We know there was a time when John was in the prison and he's ready to be beheaded. Are they going to behead him? He sent two of his disciples to ask the question to Jesus, is he the one or do we look for another? But if you remember when he baptized Jesus, he said he is the one. He's the Messiah. He's the one who takes away the sins of the world. Well, what happened that John would say he's the Messiah and then end up digressing to the point he's making, is he the one or do we look for another? When God Almighty is the one who showed him. So it wasn't like if someone said, this is your husband or this is your wife, and then later you may say you question whether that person was right. But when you know God said it, you can't question anyone. You can go back to God, and God will send you back and say, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
He's the one or she's the one. So that's what we call a defining moment. And then the next one.
The next one is the decisive moment.
Is a decisive moment.
And that's where I have to, now that I know that he's the one, I have to decide that I'm not going to get a divorce.
Because,
and you can't be scared to say that word, because I have a knowing in my knower that he's my husband. And now I decide that I'm going to stay right here in this marriage no matter what, because God defined the moment.
And so you had a defining moment. You know that's your husband. Or I know that's my wife. And then the decisive moment is I'm deciding that once we get married,
yeah,
we'll
I'm in it to win it. Yeah.
We'll never divorce. This
yeah.
is it. We're in it, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And you have to make a decision ahead of time.
Yeah. And, I mean, you guys, we can cross-apply that to several things. It's the same thing with joining the church. I have to have a defining moment. I have to make a decision. Okay, once I'm here, I'm going to decide to do something, et cetera. But we're crafting it toward marriage. And the third one is the distasteful moment. And that's where offenses come.
Offenses will come.
Because they will come.
And that also includes a marriage. Offenses will come with this mate that you claim to love so much and they
yeah.
claim to love you so much. Offenses will come. Yeah. Not Mike. They will come.
They will come.
And remember, John the Baptist, going back to him, when he asked Jesus that question through his disciples, the question, if you read the scriptures, Jesus said, after he explained to the disciples who John the Baptist was, Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. So you can see offense begin to come.
Yeah.
And when did it come? I don't know. But you can see offense begin to set in. And so these are those distasteful moments that when you become offended, when someone do something, they could be wrong or it could be the way you perceive it. But the bottom line is your reality. If someone do something or you perceive that they've done something and you begin to have a distasteful moment, if you don't handle it appropriately, here's what ends up happening. You don't see that person for who they are. You begin to see them for what they did. And it begins to distort your view and their vision of them. And that's when the enemy can actually get in there and begin to rip relationships apart. Like we said, whether it's a commitment to a church or a business or a marriage, there's a distasteful moment. And so this is why we said you have to have that defining moment in that decisive moment, because the distasteful moments will come. You will get offended. And it's very important on how you handle that offense. Because if you don't handle that offense, you'll slip into the next one, what is called the deceptive moment. And that's what we're saying, that you become deceived and you don't see that person for who they are.
Well, and then you start saying, just like John the Baptist said, is he the one or should I look for another? You done got confused. Now you saw this man of God as your house bonder. This is my man of God. This is my mighty man of God. And now you pissed off and you're upset. Oh, no. Is he really the one or should I look for another? I must have missed God on this one, girl. So you got to be that deceptive moment, the deceptive moment. And that is sent as an assignment to cause you to be blind, because you'll notice when we get to the end, it's about getting to your destiny. But if Satan can slip in deception and split this powerful couple up, then he's succeeded, because that couple was purposed to do an assignment down here on this earth. But because of deception, now I no longer see him as my house bonder. I no longer see him as my man of God. Now my eyes have grown dim and I got an attitude and I don't even want to be bothered. And that's where you get in these people that live as roommates, although they're married, they're functioning, they have a license, but there's no love, there's no affection, there's nothing happening.
Sleeping on the couch.
Sleeping on the couch.
Sleeping in the same bed.
Not even sleeping together. I mean, you know, just that whole gamut goes with that when deception comes in, and then deception moment. But most of us, we're going to skip past the deceptive moment.
When you have because the distasteful moments will come, but the point we want to make is you should never have a deceptive moment.
Yeah.
If you handle the distasteful moment appropriately, you'll slip right by the deceptive moment, and the next one is called the dying moment.
And that's where I die to my will. I die to my way. I die to my. Now, the two shall become flesh. So that means that I got to die to my way of thinking, to my way of being, to my way of doing whatever, and I got to mesh together with this other half now. And only the Holy Spirit can help you to die to yourself like that.
And so it's no longer about you, but it's about the other person.
Yeah.
You know, so we said it's one thing to be single and be able to do what you want to do. You know, you may like watching the football games all day talking about the men. You may like the, you know, Monday night come. You may want to hang out with the guys. But once you get married, you can't do that. If you remember, the Apostle Paul talked about how they that are single enjoy being single. He said, but they that are, he said, what he said was they that are single care for the things of the Lord and how to please him. See, but they that are married care for the things, or I think I said it wrong, care for the things of the, Lord, how to please him.
Yeah.
But they that are married care for the things of the world, I believe, on how to please them. If I say it right, in other words, on how to please your spouse. So also when I'm married, like if I'm single, I can go to church every time the door's open. You know, I can go to Sunday morning, I can go to Sunday night, I can go to Wednesday night, I can go to this meeting, that meeting, whatnot, and that's okay. But if I, when I'm married, I may not be able to go to church that often. I got some obligations and responsibilities to take care at home. Maybe I can go Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but I may not be able to make all the meetings. And what God is saying, the married person is under a different yoke than a single person. And God is saying, listen, you here at the altar blessing me, but maybe you need to be at home taking care of your wife or taking care of your children right now. And so we recognize that, you know, even God has order to where to get you to recognize, he wants you to understand that, listen, when you get married, that's your number one ministry. That's your number one priority, not the church. Because even then, you got some pastors who have put the church before their families and lost their families and just to go to a church, and they're miserable, and now everybody else is miserable. So that marriage is a ministry that actually comes before any ministry. If you notice, God ordained marriages, he ordained the family, and he ordained the church. And that order, that's the order of importance, that your marriage, the family, then the church, and other things after that would come into play. So that when you talked about that dying moment,
yeah.
There's things that you used to be able to do that you may not be able to do now when you're married. But that's not a bad thing,
right?
Because you knew when I chose this person, I'm ready to give up some things.
Right.
You know, there's some things that I'm going to give up so I can spend time with my family, with my wife.
Yeah, and then the last moment, you guys, is the destiny moment. And that's where all of us really are trying to get to. We want to fulfill our destiny. And as you see in marriage, you want to go for the long haul. You want to really literally be till death do us part. And that is the ultimate goal, to get to your destiny. But notice in between defining your moment and getting to your destiny, that distasteful moment is going to come. It's going to come right smack in the middle of it. And how you handle that is going to be so critical for you to have great relationships with your mate, with your business partner, with your pastor, and all of those things that you have to make a commitment to.
And when you reach that destiny moment, you don't have to say anything. Everybody will see it.
That's power and anointing.
You're living the dream.
Yeah.
So those are the six V's, the six stages of commitment.
And we're going to stop right there.
Oh, well, you know what? Wow. I'm going to say this. And don't think for one moment that I did not get every last single one of that typed down. We got defining moment, decisive moment, distasteful moment, deceptive moment, dying moment, and destiny moment. And I gave a small definition of each, and I put Coach Don and Sherman Johnson. You know that we're supposed to be doing a courting couple and married couple retreat at Al Hattie Private Christian Resort.
All right. Hey, we received that.
Yes.
You know what? I was just getting ready to say, when is the book and when is the book release, and when can I take my book to the seminar to have time?
You guys.
I am so serious. You know, Denise and I, we go back and forth, especially when it comes to our relationships. And so this month has really just been a hot month, but I definitely knew that when you guys, we were talking this morning, we were like, we're going to have our papers, we're going to have our pens, because we're going to be taking notes. And, you know, praise God, because with these six stages of commitment, see, we took notes. With the six stages of commitment, I can actually see, you know, different areas of where, you know, certain things may have gone wrong. And I love this, that this is commitment, and that it's in relation to wherever you have any commitment. So like you said, it can be your business, it can be your relationships, but you can see, when you look at these six stages of commitment, you can actually see where, you know, things fail. You can see where certain steps fail, or where you fail in certain areas. And so I love that.
Praise
wow.
God.
Yes, praise God.
Oh, yes. God, I'm sitting up here. I am so glad I was able to capture look, I'm just like lost for words, and LaDonna already shared it, but this is simplistic.
Sometimes we could overcompensate things,
and make things so, you know, but when these are simplistic. This is six simplistic, small principles that are so large. And if every marriage, or even before marriage, the courting stage, going into marriage, if they could just take these six little principles and learn them, and then take each one. You know, if you got 6 weeks before you get married, you might want to do it before, but I'm just saying, take each one of these a week at a time and just defining moments. That whole week is about you identifying those defining moments. It could be like we're sitting up and we're, you know, we could be sitting up riding in the car along the coast listening to some music, and you just know that you know you're in the right place. Defining moment, and being able to identify and speak them so that we that we're affirming each other's reality. And then you get into the decisive moment, you know, and that's saying, you know, but defining those decisive moments. Why are you decide? Why have you decided this? You know, then you might have to reflect back to the defining, but now you made this decision. And so every time you guys bump heads and have some distasteful moments, go back to one and two.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
You always got a point of reference. Okay, we're going through this. Okay, I got to go back to one and two. Why I even want to be with him? You know, I don't even like the way you know, leave the toilet seat up or whatever. But then go back. And you know, in each moment, you know, those are the distasteful things that it's the little foxes that spoil the line.
Right.
So you know, I love this. I think this is a book, and I mean, this is a book that you guys can write in 1 week. It don't even have to be a big book. It's a pocketbook. And each chapter is about each one of these. That's six small chapters. Easy read, make it fun, big letters, but that's a pocketbook that people could put in their pocket, they could carry around with them, and when they have these moments, they could pull out that and say, ooh, this is number four.
Mm-hmm.
It's deception.
Mm-hmm.
Woman, come get in the bed with me. You know?
you know, something else that I loved before you even got to the six stages of commitment was that Coach Charlene, you said that you had to work on yourself as a helpmeet before you even could get to him. You had to start working on and developing yourself, and as you did that, it caused growth and encouraged growth in him as well. And you know, there's so many of us that we just want to work on other person. We like, Lord, did you see him? Do you know what he's doing? I know that's not the one you got for me. And you know, you need to get him, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, and LaDon, Minister LaDon, and also if you think about it, I just think about how a lot of women, in particular, I'm just saying because I'm a woman and I've noticed it, but instead of working on their, and they just start picking that person apart, and then it goes back to if that self-love too, because if I can't love me, then I'm gonna have a hell of a time trying to love somebody else. And so that comes back to those past fouls of were you close to your father, were you know, who pushed you, that self-love. Because if I have not learned how to love me, then it's going to be difficult to really love Don the way that he needs to be loved. And a lot of us struggle in those areas because we may not have come from that rich, bountiful family of love. A lot of us came from a lot of dysfunction, and a lot of us operate out of that. So that's why you have to work on yourself so that the two can be one, I mean, become one. And it is a process, and it takes some blood, sweat, and tears sometimes to become yourself so that you can be a blessing to that other person.
And a lot of times I hear women say, you know, my husband won't come to church or whatever, and, you know, they really want to be in the church. And, you know, if anybody really knew who God was, they would be. But I always tell women, and it could go the other way with men as well, but I tell a woman, I said, hey, listen, don't try to make him go to church if you won't go. Just ask him a question. Say, you know, I was reading something in the Bible today, and what do you think this means? And let him read it, because he's going to know what it means anyway. So you just let him read. He'll tell you what it is. And then when he do that, keep coming back with questions. Next thing you know, he'll be sitting up in church, you know, right there shouting next to you. But there's a way that you have to be, and it's not manipulative, but there's a way that you have to deal with people sometimes just to get their feet wet. And because Charlene invited me to church. I didn't grow up in the church. You know, when I met her, she invited me to come, and I went with the idea that I'm going one time. That was it. And I had one suit and went to church and wore that. And then when she invited me back the next week, I wore that same suit the whole year. We got married. She put it in the
I put it in the dirty clothes.
And I'm like, where's my suit? You know, you're supposed to hang that up, dry clean that. Don't put it.
Hey, y'all, I was tired of that one.
but you know, the thing is, you know, just because Charlene was working on herself, you know, and I think that's very attractive for a man to see that. And then it'll make you start working on yourself. Well, let me see, you know, she's better than herself. Let me better myself. But if she'd have been working on me, telling me what I need to do and you
exactly.
need to do this and that, then you just automatically, something about human nature that just reject that kind of treatment, you know, even if they are right, especially with men, you know, yeah, I know you're right, but I didn't like the way you said it. And, you know, but there's a tactful way.
Right, because most people are fast at the mouth, the handle, and then now you're in a bra. At
right.
that point, but somebody has to operate in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's that love chapter. So, you know, sometimes it says in the Amplified, it says, love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. So, and that happens, I know, it happens a lot in marriages and friendships and stuff like that. It's like, what? You don't want me to pay no attention to it?
But see, here's the thing. See, love don't.
Right.
But you do.
But you do.
You wrong me, man. I can't go to sleep. I'm laying there thinking about all night. You know, and the thing, one thing I was going to say, you know, talking about that defining moment, when me and Charlene met, I was in a gym. I never saw Charlene one day in my life. And I'm at this gym that I never go to. A friend invited me there. He had a free pass, and I went that one day. And I was never much of a gym person as far as, like, weights and all that kind of stuff. I just, you know, like cardio stuff, and I was on a bike. And I could see Charlene walking. I'm looking out of the window of the gym, and I could see Charlene walking down. She was down the block, and she parked, like, obviously, and she was walking towards the gym, and she was across the street. And now I wasn't even living for God at the time, although I believed in him. But I saw her walking towards the gym, and I didn't know she was going to come in the gym, but I looked out there, and I said, she would make somebody a nice wife. And as soon as I said that, I heard the Spirit of God said, that's your wife. And she
wow.
walked right across the street, right into the gym, and she got on the treadmill that was next to the bike I was on, and we started talking. Now, of course, I was smart enough not to say, hey, God just told me to be my wife.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I didn't tell until about 4 months into our relationship.
Yeah.
And so 4 months after we met, we knew that we were going to get married. That's why I said we were walking down the aisle within, you know, less than 365 days. Earlier coming on, I said we're married going on 23. Actually, it's 22 years that we've been married. This coming June. So,
and we got a good story about that, but we'll save that one for another time.
Okay. I'm gonna have to transfer you guys over to processing the pain. But we do have a caller that I want to. They've been holding patiently. So caller, area code 909-8878. She dropped right as I was pulling her in. So we'll keep going until she comes back in. We had a caller that was holding, and I think they probably went to go push off a mute or something and ended up hanging up. So we'll just keep going. There she goes.
Okay, good. I'm glad she called back. Good.
Yeah, I'm glad she called. She got back in. Area code 909-8878. You're live on Woman to Woman.
Well, thank you so much for having me on Woman to Woman, and thank you for having the dynamic duel on the show. I have to say I so appreciate the reminders of the steps that you shared. And, you know, I love LaDon spoke it, and, of course, Coach D spoke it. I, too, see a book of some form, and I just wanted to encourage you. No, I mean, seriously. I just wanted to encourage you, and obviously I'm not saying do an assignment that God has not given you, but as you were speaking it, and when Coach D said it as well, I was seeing it as a workbook type of book that couples can work through together, can journal, you know, on where am I in this particular area, can come together, can talk about these specific areas as they're in process together. So I just wanted to encourage you, obviously, again, not trying to tell you to take on an assignment that does not connect with your spirits and where God would have you, but I wanted you to know that by two or three things are being confirmed that maybe this is something for you to lay before the Father and seek Him as one of the coaches in your life to say, this, there may be something around what God has given us beyond just sharing it in this type of format, that it clearly can be something that people can really utilize to continue to grow and be edified and empowered in their relationship. So I just wanted to encourage you.
Amen. Okay. We receive it.
Yes, we do. We do. Thank you.
You're very
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen. You know,
I love it.
That two or three, as you were saying that, Kushania, you, guess what? It was going in my mind and you spoke it. So that's confirmation right there that we're putting a lot of pressure on you guys. But we need this. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand. We need this. We got couples. Don't you know that family, the marriage is the only covenant? That's a God covenant. And why are they being destroyed so much? Because, it's a kingdom assignment, and because people are making it about a lust assignment, and that lust has been disguised as love, and it's not as lust, and that's why we got the destroying of it. And I think, and we've been speaking a curse over ourselves for decades and centuries by talking about soulmate, my soulmate, my soulmate. I believe that that's a curse. We've been speaking of ourselves, and we made it about the emotions. And this is kingdom assignment, kingdom assignment. Eve was a kingdom assignment for Adam. You know, she God assigned her. It was a kingdom assignment. Adam didn't know the first thing about the heart getting fluffy and I want me a wife. He didn't know that. He didn't probably even get a sense of a euphoric sense until he seen her, and then it was like, whoa, you know. But it was a kingdom assignment first, and we're going the opposite way. We're going into the emotions, the soulmate part of it, and we're forgetting about the kingdom assignment part of it. And of course, quite naturally, if you're not kingdom minded, then you're not going to understand kingdom assignment. But for those of us that are kingdom minded, we're still getting caught up in the soulmate theory. And I believe for those of us that's kingdom minded, those six steps to commitment, it sounds so simplistic, but it's so profound. Those six things could change a lot of people's lives. Really understanding the way you explained it. It just really is. And, I mean, it's simple. People will be going to counseling and marriage counseling and all that. Nothing wrong with that. But just think if they could get those six steps and truly embrace them like pledges before they even say I do.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you said something really good, Coach D, about you can take yourself back. So if we're having a, you know, misunderstanding, whatever, we can go back and say, you know what, we defined our moment. We did define our moment. So let's work this out. So you'll be more willing to yield to the other one because you already know that you defined your moment. When we do counseling with married couples, that's one of the first questions that we ask them, have you guys defined your moment? And this is what defining moment looks like. And a lot of times they can't even say that they've defined their moment. So we know right there that this is a setup for a disaster if you haven't defined your moment. Because if you can't speak to that when it's time for you to get married and you're still unclear, then you're really not ready to get married.
Right.
So, yeah.
And we've talked to people in counseling and said, well, let me ask you a question. Did you have a defining moment? And we've had some people tell us, I'm not sure. And if you're not sure, you didn't have one. And so if you didn't have a defining moment, that's the pillar. That's the first one. It's going to be very tough to stick in there.
Yeah.
You got to know.
Well, you know, I have a question for you. Because what if one person tells you they had a defining moment, but the other person did not have a defining moment?
Well, you know, when you say that, you know, when you if it's God, there's always confirmation. Like when I told Charlene what God spoke to me, well, I was wise enough not to tell her as soon as she walked in the gym. But 4 months later, when I felt it was the right thing to do, then I told her. And that bore witness with her spirit. So God had given her a defining moment. I don't know if it was then or before. But, you know, I don't believe that you both parties have to have a defining moment. The reason why I say that is because of this. You got people in the church who will come tell you, God told me to tell you that you are my wife. Well, he have to tell you that too.
Yeah.
You know, and because if you don't, that's not God. There have to be some type of confirmation. So I would say both has to have a defining moment. Maybe not at the same time, but they both have. If I would have told Charlene that when I got that defining moment, if God hadn't dealt with her, she probably wouldn't have never gave me a phone number.
Right.
So,
no, it's true. Yeah. And even like when Don, we were talking, and I mean, this is something a little bit off the cuff, but I remember when me and Don, we began to start talking, you know, we were kind of making small talk and stuff like that. But all of a sudden I saw this visual and I saw him in a tux, and it was a little circle picture, and I saw just his face in there with the tuxedo. And I was like, what is that? And, you know, I didn't trip off of it. And then I think about 2 years later, I looked back at our pictures that we took, and it was the same exact picture that it was when we were married. So it was almost like God gave me a visual of it at that particular time.
Mm.
So God will confirm it, I believe.
Like I said, it has to be confirmation, because like someone came to, and I've known men who've done that, tell women that God told me that you are my wife. And, you know, and I've had women come ask me, say, here's what this guy is saying to me. And I say, well, what is God saying to you? Because, you know, ultimately you have to believe that's God. If you don't believe it's him, don't move. Don't go for that. Don't buy it. And so I believe both will have a defining moment. One may get it first, but I believe both will have it.
Amen. So those of you who are talking about getting married, make sure you both have that defining moment.
Yeah.
Hey, don't rush into it. Don't rush.
Amen. You know, there's a couple other things that I really have to bring out, and I want to make sure that I'm being respectful for any guests that come on. So, Coach D, if our team lets you know that we do have any guests, I'm definitely going to be quiet, or you can go ahead and take over this conversation. But one of the areas that Don, that you went into, was that you said, although Charlene will, you know, submit and to your leadership, there was something key that you said about that, and that was never ask the woman that you're married to, the woman that you're courting, to submit to anything that comes between her relationship with God. And
right.
I think, you know, I want you to speak a little bit more to that, because I think as women, you know, sometimes we can get that defining moment where, or think that we've gotten that defining moment where it says, okay, this is supposed to be my husband or whatever, but they may be asking that other person to do things that really come between where God has called that woman to be, but she's saying, okay, well, this is supposed to be my husband, so this should be okay. You know, I would love for you to speak to that a little bit more.
Right, yeah. I mean, because at any rate, our allegiance is to God, not to people. And, you know, if I started saying things to Charlene or demanding things of her that would challenge her allegiance to God, she have every right to say no. You know, in one extreme case would be, you know, I could say, hey, I've always wanted to buy you that diamond ring or that car, you know, and I got a way of getting it. Let's go rob a bank. Well, I mean, you know, that, you're breaking the law, and God is nowhere in that. And so, you know, I'm just saying, you know, that's an extreme case. But, you know, I'm just saying that once I get outside of the word of God, the framework of God, then I'm really not worthy to lead or to be followed. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And in other words, if I go the wrong direction, then you better keep going straight, because really you're not following the man anyway. You're following God. He just happened to be in front of you. And when he get off course, as it's helped me, you might say, hey, wait a minute, listen, let's get back to the word now because you're missing it. And so what I'm saying is that you don't have to submit to anything that's not in line with the word of God. And that's why I said your allegiance is to God, not to that person. And so
well, and I even heard something else. I'm not sure, but like say before you get married, you have two people, somebody's had the defining moment, and now this other partner is trying to get them to do things that are not in alignment with God's will for their life. Like I'll just say a big one that we always talk about, and that's fornication. Say you got somebody that you want to get married to, and you have made a commitment, bathe yourself until you get married, but then here you got some pressure coming from this other person that you're going to marry eventually, and you wind up folding in and just, you know, lowering your standard because you kind of fell into the pressure. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, some people feel like we're going to get married anyway, so, you know, it'll be okay. But, you know, still, it's, you know, that type of relationship is honorable in the sight of God. With a license, I'd say it like that, you know. So there, yeah, you know, go ahead and engage in the getting to that relationship first, that commitment. Say I do first, and then there's some other things you're qualified for. Like you said, in this case, you won't, you know, it's against the word of God. It's against the law of God for to have sex before marriage. So if someone talking along those lines, they're missing it big time. And like I said, you don't have to submit to any. Well, first of all, he's not the husband yet. You know, but it just go back to not allowing anyone to cause you to challenge your allegiance to God. This is the word of God, and I'm standing on it. God told me to submit to my husband, but the husband that God told me to submit to still have to qualify for that.
Well, because we got in the church, we got a lot of, I call them Pentecostal pimps, and they prey on women because they see that, okay, somebody might be 35, and they might be saying, oh, shoot, my clock is ticking, and you know, all of this, and then so they may be apt to connect with somebody, and here comes this Pentecostal pimp, you know, trying to slither in there and to get you off course with where God's trying to take you, because if you have made a commitment, now, when we know better, we do better, so if you've made a commitment to keep yourself, and that's how you're going to keep it, then you got somebody slither up and try to take you off of that, then that's not the one.
Well, you know, when you look at it, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. And when you looked at it, the first thing God did, he gave Adam was in the presence of God. Adam, God gave him work, gave him a job. God gave him everything he needed to do to take care of a woman, his wife in this case. And he said it's not good for a man to be alone. And if that man don't fit those qualifications, let me say it like this, it's good for him to be alone.
Yeah, exactly.
So God wasn't saying that to about every man. It was certain men that was willing to walk upright and make a certain commitment for him. It's not good for him to be alone. But some men, it's best just to leave them alone. He ought to be alone until he's ready to do better.
Amen. Amen to that. Oh, my goodness. That was wonderful. So, Skinny, do you have any questions?
No, I just know that this has been so rich. I'm sitting up here like, y'all know, all you got to do is give me a little bit of electricity, and my power starts flowing. So just from the various nuggets that for today, I'm taking this stuff and I'm processing it. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting up here like, you know, I'm sitting up here tapping my feet. I'm listening, I'm tapping my feet. I'm excited because I got some stuff to say.
Okay.
I'm just trying to jump into stuff, you know, and you said some key things that just confirmed that, you know, with me, and this has just been a great show, and I know we're after the hour, and I want to respect you all's balance, love evening, you know, and not just, like, pull on you forever. So I just want to say we really appreciate it, and thank you guys so much for taking the time on your love day to come into the studio and share with our listening audience and just give a wealth of knowledge and information and, I believe, tools that people could take and begin to apply these tools to work through. I'm praying that those couples that are courting will implement these way before they say I do, because I think if people get this before they say I do, a lot of people will probably be saying I don't. And yeah. The ones who truly say I do, it will be because they truly do. And so I know I'm getting ready to implement them. And so these are going to be some things, even when I'm, you know, even when people is trying to get me to court, I'm already going to be looking at these six things like, you know.
Hey, look, so if he can't make a decision, then you know it's over for him.
Exactly. If it should not take no 2, 3, 4 years.
You better come on and talk about it.
Right.
Telling you, the number two is already canceled out. And so when at any given point, the one thing you didn't say is, you got six steps of commitment. At any given point, if one of the steps is forfeited, then you need to disconnect assignment. Run.
No, number four.
That's the last one to disconnect.
Sound like you say pull the ripcord, huh?
You know what, to our listening audience, what I want to say, and I'm saying it in public, so hopefully they'll feel like, okay, we got to do it now, but we don't want to leave you guys hanging, so we definitely are going to try and have Coach Don and Charlene back or get them on Process and the Pain, but we are not going to leave you guys hanging because we know this is great, and I know I have a ton more questions, so I know everybody else out there has to have a ton more questions as well. And so we are going to take advantage of the man, the treasure that the man and woman of God are. And so we will be, of course, announcing when we can, you know, get them back on our calendar. But we are going to be working on that for you guys.
Amen.
So needed. So needed and so powerful. So, again, we want to thank you for sowing seed into Woman to Woman. It's just really been a blessing. And, yes, please look at your calendar. We don't want to just bombard you, but we would love to continue this discussion. And this is the month. February is the month of love. I'm not sure what the end of your month looks like, but we love it. But we could talk more details offline. We want to thank our listening audience for tuning in. We know that you could have been anywhere on this evening. You know, with this love day, everybody's out making the restaurants and stores richer, and we know that you could have been there, but you chose to listen in on tonight. This show, and I'm sure if you've listened in on tonight, you've been blessed, and we are going to be working on diligently bringing Coach Don and Charlene back so that they could continue to just download us with some wisdom as it pertains to relationships, intimate relationships. And so, again, we want to thank you for tuning in on tonight and continue to support MCD Network, Woman to Woman, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Processing the Pain on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and the first Monday of every month, we have Relentless Pursuit at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Minister LaDon, did you have anything else?
The only thing is for Coaches Don and Charlene, if they could give out the public contact information to our guests in case our guests want to get a hold of them between now and the time that they come onto our show.
Okay. I think the best place to get in touch with us would be on Facebook, to be honest. You can look us up at Charlene-Donald-Johnson, or you can email us at kingdomtagteam@gmail.com, and we'll respond in that way. So that's kingdomtagteam charlene@gmail.com, or look us up on Facebook as Charlene-Donald-Johnson.
Amen.
All right.
Perfect.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. A pleasure.
Woman,
thank you.
To woman.
Mm, woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of light we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy.
Songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
songs of life we bring.
Songs of love and songs of
joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
6'2" and slender, or is he 5'1" and pleasantly plump? You know, is he an African American? Is he Caucasian? Is he Korean? What is he? And she began to write on the paper what he was, how tall he was, how much he weighed. Said, okay, what kind of job does he have? And so she could see it. And she said, okay. He said, okay, what are his hobbies? What does he like to do? And what's his favorite color? But he got to write about 10 things down on the paper. He said, now you're ready to pray and believe God for the husband because you know what you want. You can't just say whatever, you bless me, anyway, bless me, I'll be satisfied. You have to know what you want. And he talked about the man who was crying out. He said, crying out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He said, when Jesus went over to him and said, okay, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He said, well, Jesus could see he was blind, but he still had to put his request and tell him what he wanted. He said, so why don't you do that? Put down on the paper and tell God what you want, and you'll get exactly what you believe in him for. And so it was interesting how he was able to, because I told women, you know, stood in agreement with them for husbands and all that kind of stuff. And after a while, I started looking like a false prophet. And I said, baby, this is why I'm missing it. I don't even know what I'm agreeing to. We said a husband, but maybe you should tell me what he looked like so I know what I'm in agreement with.
And yeah, because you've been leaving for a little 3 feet tall.
Yeah, you know, and you might be looking for somebody completely different from what I can see, you know. So let's get some agreement on paper. Let's put you on our faith. And I keep my faith. I won't come out of the agreement until, you know, the promise of God is manifested. But I just believe that if you have a desire, it's because God gave you that desire. And he can bring it to pass regardless of what the statistics are saying. And that means you don't have to be in a desperate situation because men are, you know, tell God what you want. He got it.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that is so true. And, like, you know, the biggest thing I think for me right now is I'm just at peace. I'm finally, the last couple of years, just embracing my singleness. And I have a moment of, ooh. And then those moments go away because really right now I am getting me together. I'm working on me, working on, you know, I look. My house is clean, but I have a lot of clutter. And the other, about a couple of weeks ago, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Denise, you ain't ready for your husband. You ain't even got, you got too much clutter. He wouldn't even be able to fit in. Not necessarily fit into this home, but fit in because the clutter on the outside was representing maybe some clutter that was going on in the inside. And it's like, you're not able to get rid of the clutter. You ain't even, right now, you don't even want to make room for nobody.
Make room.
So I think that when you can recognize that there's areas within your own self that you really need to work on, I already know. I believe that when I get those areas and when God is ready and when he got the right person, that person's going to come on the scene. And I don't believe for one moment with me, I'm going on 15 years of being unmarried. And I just don't believe that I'm going to wait another 10 years. I honestly believe that this is the season. But
amen.
I believe.
Yeah.
We're in agreement.
Yes. Sure. We're in agreement with that.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I guess we're going to, I'm going to start working on these next couple of weeks, get ready for the next couple of weeks. I know LaDon's daughter's birthday is today, and they're cooking and going to celebrate her. So I want to love you, family, and I will be in
love
touch.
Love you guys.
The flyer is out to everyone.
Okay.
All right.
Uh-oh. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, God bless
you.
Love you.
Love
it's
you guys.
Been a
talk to you soon.
To talk to you.
Love
yourself.
You. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye.